You don't have to be a rocket scientist to help realize a mission to Mars. Become an agent of innovation with Invesco QQQ. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
You don't have to be a machine learning engineer to help make the future a smarter place. Become an agent of innovation with Invesco QQQ. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Welcome to Trillions. I'm Joel Weber.
And I'm Eric Balchunas.
Good to see you, Eric.
Good to see you, too. In person. The third time, I think, since pandemic days.
It's great, though. I think it's more than that, but who's counting? So there have been some headlines recently and some ETFs that just launched. And those headlines and these ETFs really fascinate me because we've never talked about this before. And it seems like a great time to do so.
Yeah, a whole new category has been born. We weren't sure it was going to happen. But this is a category of ETFs that are linked to single stocks, which is almost, I think, silly to some people. For example, an ETF that tracks Tesla to some degree, either leveraged or inverse, or an ETF that tracks Nike or Google. There are reasons for it we'll get into, but the SEC has approved these. Not completely the way they were filed, but close enough that I do believe we're going to see hundreds, if not thousands, of ETFs, because there's 4,000 stocks, and there's many things you can do. And so the first one was launched last week, or a bunch of them. And the one that I had a feeling would be the biggest hit was the biggest hit, Inverse Tesla, TSLQ. The volume on it went from 6 million day one, 12 million day two. It's rare to get 12 million that new, and it's rare to have volume grow. Usually day one's a big splash, and then it goes down. That tells me this is going to be a pretty big hit product. So once there's a hit, that's only going to encourage more people to file. So this is a really exciting and maybe an area that really requires some explanation for someone out there going, why do you need an ETF for a stock?
So joining us on this episode, we've got Matt Tuttle, who's the managing director of Axis Investments, one of the companies that's begun putting out these single stock ETFs, as well as Katie Greifeld, reporter with Bloomberg News, who's been covering these launches. This time on Trillions, single stock ETFs. Matt, Katie, welcome to Trillions.
Thank you for having me.
Thrilled to be here.
Matt, let's start with you. Why does the world need single stock ETFs?
The world definitely needs single stock ETFs. So I've been trading since the 80s. And, you know, back in the day, you'd always, I wish this existed. I wish that existed. And, you know, was never in a position to actually make that happen. And now I am. So, you know, I talk to retail investors on Twitter and, you know, in through email all the time. And, you know, there's a couple of things they really like to do. They like to trade on margin, they like options, and they typically are agnostic between being long or short a single name. So what single stock ETFs do is it gives investors a way to easily kind of express those options in a nice package. So not everybody likes to trade options. I mean, I personally don't. It's kind of a pain in the butt. Not everyone likes to or can access margin. And not everybody likes to or can go short. You can't short in an IRA, retirement plan. So it just gives investors another way, if they've got a bullish opinion or a bearish opinion on a stock, to express that view.
What were the hurdles to bring this to market? Because as Eric mentioned, SEC didn't totally go for this at the start.
So these are complex products, obviously, and leverage and inverse ETFs. I mean, we all know that they provide the return in a single day. Once you start compounding the returns, you know, what you end up getting, you know, may not be exactly what you expect. And so there is education, but there needs to be a lot more education for investors on, you know, hey, if you hold on to this for a longer period of time, you know, there could be issues. So, you know, the SEC, to address that, came out with their new derivatives rule, which, you know, expectedly is not designed with single asset ETFs in mind. So, you know, I think the biggest hurdle that we had there was just making sure that these fit within the rules as they were designed.
Let me jump in there, because when you filed, you had originally filed for also a 2X Tesla, which to me is somewhat of the holy grail. I think that anything around Tesla, I think, is going to sell. You ended up coming out with a 1.1X Tesla, which is just a little tiny dose of leverage. I mean, it's almost unnoticeable. And then, but yeah, they allowed you to come out with 2X Pfizer. And, you know, my colleague James Seifert looked at that. And what he did is he looked at the volatility of the stocks. And if you work in that leverage, you realize that it looked like the SEC was looking at standard deviation and saying, well, we're okay with 2X Pfizer because it's not that volatile, but Tesla, we only go a tiny bit of leverage. Are they actually using volatility as a way to sort of regulate these things?
So to an extent, they're not looking specifically at standard deviation, but they've got a calculation that we've got to fit these into. So when we initially filed, we said, you know, we'll file for 2X, you know, because that's the maximum we know we can do. And then we'll go through the process and see, you know, kind of where we end up, you know, without giving away the secret sauce, because I don't know that other people have kind of figured this out. You know, you've basically got to fit it within those derivative rules. And the more volatile a stock, I mean, Tesla has a standard deviation over 4. Where I don't remember what Pfizer is off the top of my head, but it's nowhere near 4. You know, the more volatile the stock, the tougher it's going to be to kind of fit it into that box. And again, going back to the rules aren't designed for a single asset.
And so, I mean, I've tweeted about these launches. Eric has tweeted about these launches. It spurred a lot of pearl clutching on Twitter, like just a lot of people saying, oh, this is the top, even though it feels like maybe we're at the bottom. But in any case, one of the tweets that did catch my eye, which was interesting, you know, you mentioned that these ETFs, the inverse ETFs, could be access for people who can't short otherwise to short a stock, express that bearish view. And someone made the point on Twitter that people might use this to get around having to set up a margin account. Like maybe there's a reason why they're not able to short.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, margin is one big thing, you know, that went into this more on the long side, but certainly on the short side as well. I mean, a lot of times people don't like margin. Sometimes you can't. I mean, I invest in all my own products and those aren't marginable. So, I mean, I can't buy on margin unless I invest in other things. So not everyone can do it. So yeah, I mean, it's totally a way to get around that.
Let me just ask you what it holds. So if you were to go into the access capital markets desk and the portfolio design team at your office, just explain to me what is in the holdings. We'll use the inverse Tesla ETF as an example, since that's the biggest
which is
one.
Tesla Q, and also in addition to what it holds, like how does this work exactly? What are those people doing?
So, and the answer is the same thing. They hold swaps. So we've got counterparties that we go out to. And so in the case of Tesla, we say, hey, we need a swap that gives us, you know, basically looks and smells and feels like we're short X amount of shares of Tesla. And being a levered or an inverse ETF, we need to rebalance that every single day. Because the moment Tesla or anything opens for trading, we're out of balance. So we got to get back into balance by the end of the day. So every day we're calling up our counterparties and we've got spreadsheets that we say, you know, all right, I need to short 100 shares of Tesla. Now I need 200. Now it's 150. And we tell the counterparties at the end of the day, hey, look, we need to short another 100 shares of Tesla.
Now, sometimes the stock gets so bad, it is expensive to borrow, to short. Is that borrow cost embedded in the swap price, or how does that work?
Yeah, the borrow cost gets embedded in the swap price. And that's an important point. I mean, some people on Twitter have said, well, you know, if we buy the inverse, we don't pay the cost of shorting. You do, but you know, there's a chance that, and a very good chance, we're getting better pricing on that than, you know, you are in your Schwab account.
You know, Eric, Tesla Q has an amazing backstory. It's been a cover of Bloomberg Businessweek, actually, the Twitter group that basically assembled around that cash tag and was very vocal, anti-Elon, anti-Tesla. And I'm curious, you know, we're early on this launch, but how does this launch rank in terms of all-time great ETF introductions?
It's probably the best intro launch since Bitto, I think. I mean, there's a couple other decent ones, but to go from 6 million to 12, again, that's unusual. The other one I'm thinking of is UVIX, when they relaunched the TVIX and XIV under new names. But I look back, even those were like 3 million the first day, and then maybe 4 the second, but those have also built. It's what you want is something that builds slowly. It reminds me of the movie Office Space. Kind of didn't do that much at the box office, but the rentals just kept creeping up over time because people, word of mouth, they were like, you've got to watch this movie. That happens sometimes. That's what you want. That is how you get a classic. That's how you get volume. So to me, this is probably one of the better launches of the last couple of years.
This podcast is brought to you by Invesco QQQ. What do all the greatest innovations have in common? Agents, people who participate in progress by supporting cutting-edge ideas. Invesco QQQ is a fund that allows you access to innovators of the NASDAQ 100 all in one fund. So you don't have to be an inventor to help create what's next to come. Anyone can become an agent of innovation with Invesco QQQ. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. There are risks when investing in ETFs, including possible loss of money. ETF risks are similar to those of stocks. Investments in the tech sector are subject to greater risk and more volatility than more diversified investments. The NASDAQ 100 index comprises the 100 largest non-financial companies on the NASDAQ. You can't invest directly into an index. Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit Invesco.com for a prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully before investing. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas, begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education, by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Well, Matt, to that end, you had this audience built in, which was already familiar with this idea, and then you had this idea for the product. Which came first, the recognition of the audience or the idea for the product?
The idea for the product. So, I mean, you know, we did Sark back last year. Then we followed that up with Tark. And the idea was to follow that up with Tesla. We just felt like all of those fit into a real nice bucket and appealed to a lot of the same type of people.
And so, like Eric said, I mean, this is an entirely new category. As Eric would say, it's a Vanguard-free zone. So if you look at the Access single stock ETFs that are out there so far, I think they charge 115 basis points each. Obviously, there is a very long line for other single stock ETFs to launch. I think there's over 80 filings, which is just insane.
With a bunch of different issuers, too.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, does that fee have to come down? Do you anticipate that you're going to have to cut these fees?
I mean, anything is possible. And I mean, number one, let's see if these guys get their stuff to market. Mm. It's not easy. And you know, and us going through it for the first time, obviously it took longer than the 75 days to get it done. So we'll see whether those come out. We'll see what they come out in pricing. We'll see what names they come out with. And you know, we'll play that by ear, but I would assume if this turns into a real massive market, then yeah, I mean, you're going to have fee compression. You know, you can't have a, you know, 1.15% SPY. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very good area if you're an asset manager, because Vanguard will never play here. No. And the thing is, if you get out early and you get a liquid ETF, like if TSLQ gets, say, starts trading 100, 200 million like Sark does, even a copycat, you're going to have pricing power for a long time. That's why I do think you're going to see so many people launch. Or as Ben Johnson put it, the spaghetti cannon is going to be probably like, we're going to break the spaghetti cannon. That's how much it's going to get used. And I will ask you, you know, we saw a
spaghetti cannon. Is that a thing? I haven't actually seen a spaghetti cannon.
I've seen a potato gun.
Yeah. Is that similar?
No, it's an imaginative thing that, okay, Ben Johnson at Morningstar came up with. Everybody's stolen. It's a great phrase, which he just describes, like when there's something hot in ETFs, you just see so much spaghetti flying at the wall that it's almost like a cannon. It's not just throwing. It's like just just a giant wad of spaghetti. And then you'll have a lot of things that don't make it. One of the things I wanted to ask Matt, though, was about this new category. Obviously, you'll have like leverage and you'll have inverse on many stocks. Now, I also saw a filing just last week for yield shares, which are, I believe, going to do a follow a stock and then do a covered call strategy on top of it. I mean, it seems like the sky's the limit. We're just basically in like almost like a new country where people are going to set up shop and do all kinds of stuff. How far can this go?
I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I think there's all sorts of different ways to slice and dice it. You know, covered calls, puts, you know, all sorts of things with different option strategies. You know, I think at some point you kind of do run your course, and you know, there's only so much money floating around and only so much interest. So, you know, I think it can get a little bit crazy, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Sark and Tark a second ago, and I would just want to rewind and go back to that, because what did you learn from introducing those that maybe informed Tesla Q and wherever else you could go?
So, I mean, and it really actually, it goes back to SOGU. I mean, SOGU was our first inverse ETF. And inverse ETFs, like single stock ETFs, are not easy. And there's nobody around to tell you, hey, this is how you construct an inverse ETF. And obviously, the players in the market were not willing to share, unfortunately. So with SOGU, we learned how to do an inverse ETF, which then made Sark very easy. And then, you know, Tark, the same thing. You know, the other part of that too was being able to get swap counterparties, which since Archegos is not easy. Like, and not easy is an understatement. So, you know, we learned how to do that. I learned how to use Twitter. I mean, I'm 53 years old. A couple of years ago, or maybe even a year ago, I didn't even know what Twitter was. So I learned how to do that, which is good because the Twitter guys like this stuff.
I was going to say, of all the times to introduce a Tesla Q product with Twitter and Musk and, you know, total fallout, it seems like a pretty good moment for that.
Timing was not bad.
How much time do you spend on Twitter now?
It depends. You know, it's good that I've got a dog who likes to go on really long walks. So, I mean, we could be out for like an hour and a half and, you know, I'm on Twitter then. You know, during the day when I have time, I do wake up way earlier than I want to. So I tend to spend some time on Twitter then. And
I dream in tweets. Is that awful?
You're all in. So
it's
am I.
It's terrible.
Yeah, you do tweet a lot.
Yeah, unfortunately. But in any case, we should talk about the SEC, because there's been some worried noises coming out of some of the commissioners there. You had Commissioner Caroline Crenshaw. She called for the agency to adopt new rules on single stock ETFs. Even Chair Gensler said that the products present a particular risk, and yet they launched. But I'm curious if you're worried at all, even though you're out the door. I mean, what could the backlash be here?
I mean, I'm not necessarily from the standpoint that, you know, there are tons of levered and inverse things that are out there. And again, it comes down to education. Like I said before, it's that glide path, the compounding of returns that's going to be different. You know, I don't think these present any danger in any way, shape, or form. There's no market risk. And, you know, and a lot of it seems kind of disingenuous where, you know, hey, these single stock and inverse ETFs, you know, that's risky. But like buying ARK K in February of, you know, 2021 at the top, that's fine. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there in the marketplace that's extremely risky. And, you know, I just think it's an educational issue more than anything.
So you have TSLQ and you've got Sark. Have you had any feedback from either Elon or Kathy based on the fact that you have these products going the other direction? I know Elon's in particular sensitive to the shorts. Kathy also, you've got Tark. So you're kind of almost building a little, you're adding to the ecosystem around that fund, which I argue is good because it draws more volume in. But maybe she, was there any, I guess between those two people, have you heard anything from them on either of these?
So Elon, no. Kathy, I can't talk about, but one interesting thing, Tark actually helps her from the standpoint of every dollar we get into Tark eventually goes back to her, because we've got to go buy a swap and then the counterparty has to hedge themselves by buying ARK. So, you know, that's actually a net positive for them.
This podcast is brought to you by Invesco QQQ. What do all the greatest innovations have in common? Agents, people who participate in progress by supporting cutting-edge ideas. Invesco QQQ is a fund that allows you access to innovators of the NASDAQ 100 all in one fund. So you don't have to be an inventor to help create what's next to come. Anyone can become an agent of innovation with Invesco QQQ. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. There are risks when investing in ETFs, including possible loss of money. ETF risks are similar to those of stocks. Investments in the tech sector are subject to greater risk and more volatility than more diversified investments. The NASDAQ 100 Index comprises the 100 largest non-financial companies on the NASDAQ. You can't invest directly into an index. Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit Invesco.com for a prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully before investing. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas, begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education, by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Somebody had this idea with TARC that Kathy should just buy TARC, which would then you'd have to go out and buy shares of ARC, which would then buy more TARC and create this upward spiral in the shares of ARC. Is my head just not smart enough to understand why that would or wouldn't work?
I mean, I saw that and my brain hurt trying to kind of figure that out. You know, so I don't think it's going to happen. Now, the best thing I saw is someone on Twitter took her holdings thing that she sends out every day and mocked it up and had 100% SARC, and it looked totally real. And I saw that on Twitter and I was like, oh my God, oh no, that's fake. But it threw me for a second.
Okay, so we're ultimately talking about some stuff here that it does get a little wonky. And, you know, Eric has a traffic light system that he's developed at Bloomberg Intelligence to sort of help investors make sense of where ETFs fall. And, you know, there's an amazing episode of Trillions that we recorded with our dads once upon a time. And if you listen to that, you'll learn that, you know, Eric's dad all in on levered oil and, you know, ended up juggling some chainsaws that probably hurt himself. And so, Eric, I'm wondering how red does BI rank these products?
So these would actually be yellow. We haven't ranked TSLQ. You do every quarter. But I know SARC would be a yellow. If you go one time inverse, we don't find that too awful, too dangerous. It's when you go 2-3x anything. That's when the daily resetting of the leverage can really hurt you. Daily inverse, like if you look at SH, which is the one time inverse S&P, you largely get the opposite of the S&P medium term as well. It's not perfect, but it's not like a 3x where you could actually get the call right, but because of some volatility, you actually lose money. That's where they're red. So we would do yellow. If they come out with 2x Tesla, that would be red. Anytime you go 2x anything, we red. So right now you're yellow, unless I can find something else. Like if you roll futures or if the tax is weird, it might bump them up to a red, but that's how we'd look at it.
So that makes sense.
So what are you going to tell your dad when your dad calls you about this product?
All in.
I'm going to tell him stick to your big oil stocks. He likes big oil companies and he likes AT&T for some reason. I'm like, just stick to those. It's fine.
Your dad actually called me and I told him to go all in. just so you know.
My dad bet on the British Open. Like, I mean, he's like, so I was like, you have enough going on. Okay. Just, you know, he lost though. He had McIlroy and he almost won. I mean, it was brutal.
Hate to say it.
Yeah.
I do have a question. Sort of, you know, we're talking about how crazy and wild the space could become, but could you ever just see a single stock ETF that isn't leveraged or inverse that literally just holds the stock, or is that actually just pointless?
To me, that would be pointless. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that anyone would want to do it or even try it.
Yeah, I think
that's what they call a bad idea.
Yeah.
I will say to
maybe
the...
Maybe I'll launch it. Who knows?
Give it a shot.
Or just an ETF that tracks SPY.
Yeah.
Just, we're SPY.
Spying SPY.
Yeah. Well, look, the inverse ones make a ton of sense. I remember I've received multiple people over the past couple of years that have said, can you tell the issuers to launch an S&P 500 X Tesla? Just because they want to hedge out the Elon risk, you know, of whatever he does. And I think that's part of a really understandable use case is either ahead of earnings or if there's a company where you're just worried about the CEO or a change, you could just quickly buy this and you are hedged for a month or a week or a year. I think that's probably the most accurate use case. I think as it gets volume, you might see some institutional usage, especially if there's options around this. I'm assuming there's going to be options.
There are options
already.
Now. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That was amazing, actually, that we got that quickly.
You know, this all makes me wonder, you know, if you could rewind the clock, Tesla obviously over time has performed exceedingly well. If there were ever a Bitcoin ETF, you could kind of imagine this. Is there any way that you could leverage the upside here too and like compound it so that you're not shorting it with this, but like, you know, get the upside effect of a stock that you're really bullish on for the long term? What would that look like?
So not within the derivative rules. We're working on some more advanced ideas for, you know, being able to maybe do a 2x Tesla. It's unlikely the idea will be well received, but it's something we might try. But it, you know, the way the current derivative rules are, it's going to be very hard
because you got to lock it down to that single day space.
Well, but it's also going to be very hard to get leverage on something that in and of itself is very volatile.
Speaking of advanced ideas, so I was on Meb Faber's podcast. Great podcast, by the way. Listen to it. We had a great discussion. At the end, he's like, hey, what are some ETF ideas that aren't in the market that you think should be? So I gave him two. One is a congressional stock tracker, or if you want to be specific, just Nancy Pelosi's portfolio.
What's the ticker for that?
Nance is what I would think.
Nance.
N-A-N-C, yeah.
That's pretty good.
That would fly off the shelves, I think. But
I've looked at that, and I'm not sure. I mean, it may fly off the shelves, but from an investment standpoint, I'm not sure it would work.
Because you don't think she's like the ultimate.
Well, so the problem is it's not Nancy, because the problem with launching a product around Nancy is what happens when she retires.
Well, that's why I thought, well, maybe you do congressional stock tracker, because there's actually a couple better than her somehow. There's this one guy from like Illinois.
There's a like service that
better
tracks
than, like, any hedge fund.
There's a service that tracks it. And I've talked to the guy who does it and he keeps telling me the performance just really isn't that good. That's the problem. I mean, it's something that I have looked at a lot and will continue to look at. But if the performance isn't that good, it's unfortunate.
I had another one I went over with Meb, which was the inverse Jim Cramer ETF.
Oh my gosh.
Which I think would be called the Sane Money ETF. That way you don't deal with any like copyright issues with his show. And the ticker would be S-A-N-E. And he is wrong a lot, obviously, but he's wrong big. A couple times a year, and like Coinbase to 400. If you had shorted that, man, that's like a monster performance. And all you need is a couple of those bad boys to power the ETF. And Meb said that seems like something Tuttle would launch.
Yeah, I feel like Matt might want to.
This
say
sounds
something.
Like perfect for you.
Yeah, it would be perfect for me.
Watch this space potentially.
Watch this space potentially.
Okay.
Excellent.
That's good. I like that. You know, as we kind of wind up here, Matt, I'm curious, you know, to be a short, it takes a special stomach, I think, right? And I'm wondering, like, you know, how are you wired and like what's your outlook in the world? Because effectively, it requires rooting against capitalism sometimes. And
as,
that would
as
be
I've been accused
that,
of.
That would
yes.
be how a lot of investors put it, right? So I'm curious, how do you wake up in the morning and feel about that criticism?
Well, so remember, we have both sides. Yep. And so, you know, I am a bear right now just because the market stinks. And yeah, I think we get another leg down. And I think there are going to be some great shorting opportunities to come. But really what I am, what I believe in is you've got to be agnostic between long and short. I'm not a fan of, hey, be a long-term investor, just buy a bunch of this stuff. I mean, you know, again, one of the things being out on Twitter is I see how people are just getting killed. And a lot of the Twitter guys have started to get it, and they're not buying the dips anymore. They're shorting the rips, and you know, maybe they're recovering. But, you know, I just think you got to be agnostic between the long and the short side. And I wake up every morning with absolutely no bias. I look at what the market's telling me, and that's what I think that day.
How does it feel to launch some of these products in this cycle? I mean, you couldn't have drawn this up any better, it feels like.
Well, and you know, and a lot of that was by design. I mean, we would, one of the big reasons we launched Sark is just looking at the macro environment and saying, you know, we're due. And the Fed's talking about raising interest. You know, at that point, I don't think it was a definite, but they were talking about it, and just knowing what happens to those stocks, you know, and not launching TARC at the same time we launched SARC, because having a feeling if we did that, TARC wouldn't have done so well. So a lot of that's by design, but yeah, the market has played out pretty well for me.
Okay, question we ask at the end of every Trillions. Matt, favorite ETF ticker other than your own?
So that would have to be meme, because okay, when I saw them file for that, it pissed me off that I didn't come up with that idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's Ron Hill, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you look at all the 150 issuers, right? But there's little, like little corners where there's a couple that are kind of the similar. Spiritually similar. Round Hill, Tuttle, and maybe a little Global X. But yeah, I could see that.
What about MetaQ? Would you get there?
You're talking about launching or
yeah,
a ticker?
Launching.
Yeah.
Oh,
a short Facebook.
Oh, short. Yeah. I mean, I think what is definitely going to be the future of kind of the single stock is what we saw in Tesla, where it's going to be, you know, kind of these, you know, stocks that have larger than life personalities. So, you know, one of the big things I think about short Tesla is Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, Meta's got
bearish on Mark. There you go.
Exactly. So I think, you know, these companies that have CEOs that are out there, I think those are going to be interesting products. The thing that gives me pause about, you know, and I can't call them Meta, I've got to call them Facebook. A short Facebook is that there are other products that, you know, there's short Fang, you know, and there's some correlation to the NASDAQ. What I loved about Tesla is it's not correlated to anything.
By the way, do all your tickers like end in Q that are inverse?
I don't remember off the top of my head. The way we did it, though, is because of Bloomberg. Because if you type in TSL into Bloomberg, you might, and you're looking for Tesla, you might actually get TSLQ.
I also think
if brilliant.
Well, just while we're on this, if you put Q, I would put Q at the end of every inverse one. And then people will just know MetQ, NightQ.
You're leaking alpha.
I should be paying.
It's just coming right out of me.
Yeah, right. Send me a bill. I think some of the problems you have too are if those stickers are reserved.
Right.
So you don't always get what you want.
How did
you
Scrabble? You can't use a Q.
It wasn't reserved.
Wow.
So we went and we grabbed it.
Wow. Even Mike Menudo didn't have it. And he has a lot.
Matt, Katie, thanks for joining us on Trillions.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Trillions. Until next time, you can find us on the Bloomberg Terminal, Bloomberg.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you like to listen. We'd love to hear from you. We're on Twitter. I'm at Joel Weber Show. He's at Eric Balchunas. This episode of Trillions was produced by Stacey Wong. Bye.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to help realize a mission to Mars. Become an agent of innovation with Invesco QQQ. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.